Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Herschel York to the podcast. Dr. York serves as Victor and Louise Hester Professor of Christian Preaching at Southern Seminary and a senior pastor of the Buck Run Baptist Church in Frankfort, Kentucky. He's a published author, a gifted preacher, and a master sermon illustrator. He's also an old and dear friend. Dr. York, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. It really is a joy to be with you.
Well, listen, today we're going to talk about a topic that every pastor resonates with, every preacher resonates with, and that is the topic of illustrating the sermon, keys to effective sermon illustration. And I've chosen you most intentionally because there are many different points of commendation that I can speak to you about your preaching. And I say that not to flatter you, but I say that as a statement of fact. But perhaps what rises to the top in my mind is your ability to take the truths of Scripture and illustrate them in practical ways where people can comprehend and process and apply them to their lives. But before we get into that, give us a brief word of introduction about yourself, your ministry, and kind of how God has shaped you as a preacher over the years.
Surely. Well, I was so blessed to grow up in a pastor's home. And even as a child, saved at the age of 7, and then just growing up under my dad's ministry, you know, I felt the Lord's call on my life as early as 10. I said to my dad when I was 10 years old, I think God's calling me to preach. And my dad's answer was very simple and direct. He said, well, if God calls you to do something when you're 10, you should just say yes when you're 10. So I grew up with the sense of wanting to serve the Lord. And while other kids were bookworms, I think I was a tapeworm. My dad would get me sermon tapes. I would listen to tapes. I remember listening to, you know, Warren Wiersbe and guys like that. Growing up, I would go to Bible conferences. And very early, I learned to distinguish between guys that were very biblical, very true in what they preached, and then those that really held my attention. And I think I developed a sense of the importance of illustrations even early on. So throughout my ministry, I've always felt that it's not enough simply to declare truth. As important as that is, in fact, it's the most important thing. But I've had the experience of sitting under the preaching of someone who declared truth and still bored me to tears. I realized that God's created us with certain devices that enable us to hear better. And I always wanted to be able to arrest someone's attention and preach in such a way that it made them interested in the truth and made them see how to apply it in their lives.
That is so helpful and so very well put. Now, when we think about illustrating the sermon, that fits into a broader rubric of what a sermon is. And without getting too detailed here, how would you basically outline a sermon, the body of a sermon, in broad categories, those different component parts of a sermon, and then where the illustrative part fits into that?
I believe that every sermon really has to have two aspects. One is that it has to lay bare the meaning of the biblical passage. First and foremost, what we preach is the Word of God. We're not preaching some religious concept or our own spiritual truth. We're preaching what the text says. And so if my sermon doesn't do that, I fail as a preacher. The other aspect, though, of preaching, and especially of being a shepherd, is that we apply the text. We're not preachers who shepherd, we're shepherds who preach. It is a tool of shepherding that God has called us to. And so I'm to take that biblical text and to show those who sit under my preaching what difference this will make in their lives. And so when I preach a text, I want my sermon to make sure that it gets across the author's intent, what the author is saying. And I want to be in the flow of the text. How is he directing this truth? What kind of a problem is he addressing? And I want to address the same kind of issue or problem. Sometimes you have to contextualize a little bit. You know, no one in most of our churches is struggling with eating meat sacrificed to idols. But that has a concept, a principle that does indeed apply to the people in our churches. And so I want to show them how to apply that text with the author's intent. So that's the way I approach every text. If I can make my sermon conform to the structure of that text, I want to do that and let it unfold the way that the author has unfolded. And often those concepts in the biblical text are the same today as they were 2,000 years ago or better. You know, flee fornication pretty much means the same thing today that it did when Paul wrote it, but we have now different ways of falling into that sin, and so I want to apply it. I might talk about the issues of pornography and internet pornography and the technologies that really are used to cause men and women to fall. And so I'm being true to what the text says, but I'm also applying it to the hearer's life today.
Now, let's take this one logical step further, and let me ask this question and tee you up to respond. There are some of the brethren, not many, but some, that would question fundamentally the need to intentionally illustrate the sermon. So give an apology for sermon illustrating in the first place. Why is that important? Is that a biblical pattern? Should we be thinking intentionally about illustrating the sermon?
The key is what embedded in your question there is this a biblical pattern? And it is biblical from start to finish. The Bible is filled with illustrations, both by biblical authors and by preachers. Jesus himself was a master illustrator. He used everyday objects. He used stories. He used current events to illustrate biblical truth. God told Ezekiel how to illustrate. He told him to build a little city and lay siege to it. He made Isaiah walk barefoot for 3 years. Jonah is, I believe, in the historicity of Jonah, but it's definitely an illustration. So, and Jesus used it even illustratively. So the Bible clearly uses stories and humor and analogies and references and word pictures, and we should as well. It's simply the way our Creator has designed our minds to work, and we want to use that in order to get that biblical truth across. I've never really understood objections to illustrations. Obviously, it would be a problem if my sermon were nothing but stories. A friend of mine calls it skyscraper preaching, you know, one story on top of another. Well, my goal is not to be entertaining or to give comic relief or to enlighten in some narrative format. My goal is to get that truth of the Bible across, but illustrating it with what Spurgeon called a window of light is a key way to get that truth across, and certainly I believe that methodology helps us do that.
So very helpful. Well, let's talk about that methodology. Let's talk about improving one's abilities to illustrate the sermon. And I mean this at every level. Perhaps you want to answer that from a resource side, tools to have or intentional ways to think, or perhaps you want to answer that more technically, specifically within the composition of the sermon itself and where to put an illustration, how to connect that illustration to the people. So I want you to answer that really in any direction that you're so inclined, but I know there are many listening to this podcast who are faithfully preaching week in and week out. And for many, studying the text comes pretty natural to them, especially if they've been rightly equipped and trained. Getting an exegetical outline, they can do that pretty well. They can put together the component parts of the sermon, but they feel vexed every week when they have to actually bring this to bear in a way with amplification or with illustration, some way to really paint the picture for their congregants. And this is where I think we can leverage your expertise, Dr. York, especially for the listeners of the podcast, as to precisely how to enhance their sermon illustrating ability.
Well, you know, Dr. Allen, you have put your finger on a key difficulty, and that is illustrating a sermon well never gets easier. you'll get better at your exegetical skills. You'll get better at your Greek and Hebrew skills. You'll know how to outline a passage better 30 years into your ministry than you did when you began. But coming up with fresh, relevant material that aptly, truly illustrates that text, shines a window of light on that text, that really is a challenge, because you can't just go back to the same old hackneyed, tried and true illustrations you've heard before or used before. You're constantly having to look in places, and you have to look in places where no one else is looking. Illustrations serve well at the beginning of a sermon to set up a text, or after you've read a text to sort of show a contemporary parallel. They certainly serve well in conclusions. I really like to use illustrations in the points themselves. As you make an applicational point in that sermon, I begin with the end in mind. Okay, here's what I'm trying to accomplish with this point. Here's the truth I'm wanting my audience to see. Now, what story, event might help me give a parallel to that? Now, when you begin that way, it's really hard to just have your thumb on something that you can immediately turn to. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the worst source of sermon illustrations is a book of sermon illustrations.
Hmm.
They're almost always useless. They are often dated and undocumented, and you don't know if they really happened or not, and everybody else has read them. I like to look where no one else is looking. And so I'm constantly reading, and I listen to podcasts. I find books like Malcolm Gladwell's books, Blink, The Tipping Point, Outliers, David and Goliath.
Yes.
They're filled with stories in which I find themes that will work well in sermons. The New York Times trending page, or just their list of their most popular content. What are people emailing? You know, just a few weeks ago, I used a sermon. I don't know if you recall, Microsoft had an artificial intelligence bot, which they sort of unleashed on the internet. And within a few hours, they had to take it down because it was designed to adapt to the people it interacted with. And within a few hours, it had become a racist, white supremacist, misogynist. It was astounding what had happened as it adapted to the humans it interacted with. Well, man, what an illustration of depravity. And I saw that in the New York Times that week, and just so happened that it fit a point in my sermon that Sunday. I listened to podcasts like This American Life, Radio Lab, Hidden Brain, Serial, and The Moth. Let me say that the fact that I listen to these is certainly not an endorsement of a lot of the content there, but you will find, first of all, this is what the world is listening to, and this was representative of the world's outlook, but you'll find fascinating narratives and stories that will fit just the biblical passages that you're studying. I think another key is you need to plan your preaching well in advance. Map out my preaching about 6 weeks in advance. I know what the topics are. Like if I lay out, I'm preaching through a biblical book. I preached, I think, 44 sermons through the book of Hebrews last year. I had that mapped out and knew what the theme of each one of those sermons was going to be. I kept that list with me. And I use an app like Evernote, in which I come up with a folder for each sermon and topic and passage. And I just look over that list once or twice a week, and I know what's coming. And so as I read the paper, as I listen to these podcasts, I'm always thinking about those themes. And so, here's an interesting, Time Magazine just last week, I think, was on marriage and why how marriages can last and why it matters. Well, if I know that I've got one coming up on that in 3 months, I'll clip that in Evernote and save that in that folder. And as I get closer to it, it'll be there for me along with other things that I've collected. So, you know, as David Letterman used to say, there is no off position on the genius switch. I would say you have to. There can be no off position on the switch looking for illustrations. It's a constant task.
So we have, number one, work well to work well to sprinkle illustrations throughout the sermon. Number two, avoid illustration books, but read broadly. Listen to podcasts, New York Times trending page. Number three, you mentioned to plan your preaching well in advance. And that is so very helpful to be at least 6 weeks out so you know where you're going. Give us a couple more tips, a couple more ways to improve our sermon illustrating.
Personal illustrations are extremely powerful, especially when they come from a pastor. Congregations are always fascinated by their pastor's personal life. And so they are among the most powerful illustrations one can use, but they come with, you know, with great reward comes great risk, and they come with their own set of risk. And so if you use personal illustrations, first of all, you don't want them to be too personal. I can tell a story, as I do sometimes, about an argument that Tanya and I had in the first weeks of our marriage 35 years ago. And it's really funny when I tell it. But if I'm talking about an argument we had last night, that's not funny at all. You know, that's raw. And sometimes, you know, preachers need a filter. You don't want to tell anything that's going to be embarrassing to your family, humiliating. Don't always tell illustrations that make you the hero. You know, sometimes guys only talk about, you know, when they illustrate using their families, it's always about, you know, how much their children knew about the Bible around the family altar last week. And, you know, I want my people to see the reality of my struggle, my walk with the Lord. But I really have to make sure that is filtered. It's not going to make them embarrassed by too much transparency. I'm not going to talk about personal things between my wife and me that are best left in private. I'm not going to humiliate my children, and are now my age, my grandchildren. They're a constant source of good illustrations, but you know, my people can get tired of hearing about my grandchildren. So, you know, I have to be careful about those things. So personal illustrations are really powerful, but you need to make sure you have permission from the involved individuals to use them. No pastor should use illustrations about his people or the counseling situations that he does not get permission for. And when in doubt, leave it out. Make sure that you don't put anyone in an awkward situation or hurt anyone's feelings. But, you know, a lot of times it's not so much some big event that happens. It's learning how to look at a certain thing. In my book on preaching, I tell the story of the time that Tanya had taken away an old pair of shoes because they were just so worn out and so ugly, and the sole was coming loose from the leather. And I thought she threw them away, and she made me buy a new pair of shoes. But one Sunday morning, getting ready for church, I was looking around in the closet, and I found that old pair of shoes. And it was like being reunited with an old friend. And I thought, well, I'll put them on just here around the house for a few minutes, you know, just to feel my old friends again. And about halfway through my sermon that morning, I looked down at my feet and realized I'd not changed into my dress shoes. I was still wearing those old shoes. And I used that when I preached in Colossians 3 about, you know, the we're a new man, the old man is dead, we need to put off the things that belong to the old man. And I talked about the way the problem was that those old shoes didn't go with what I was wearing. And what a picture it is of when we who are clothed in the righteousness of Christ sometimes step into old sins and old behaviors. And it simply is inconsistent with who we are in Christ. To this day, I'll get emails and prayer requests from people who say things to me like, oh, please pray for me, I stepped into an old pair of shoes.
Oh, wow, that's sweet.
Now, that's not some dramatic story, really. But it gave a mental image of exactly what it's like for a believer to fall into sin. And I'm always looking for that kind of thing, just how can I use that in a way that highlights the meaning of that text and gives it a hook, a nail, for people to hang the concept and their memory on.
Listen, this has been so helpful, Dr. York. We could talk all afternoon. I could ask you questions all afternoon. But our time has really flown by, and the way you landed us on these five key tips, five words of counsel to improve our sermon illustration has been very helpful. Here's what I want to do. I want to ask you one final question and let you answer it, and then I'll close this. But one final question, pull this together. If you're a preacher, how do you know if the illustration has become the tail wagging the dog of the sermon?
Well, in all candor, if indeed your story, your illustration is not connected to a text, that's really the tail wagging the dog. But I've got to warn preachers, just get over the disappointment that you'll have that they're going to remember your story more than your outline or your sermon. That's simply the way the human mind works. You know, recently someone sent me a CD of a really well-known, very famous preacher who cited me and he quoted a couple of illustrations of mine. Now, I think so highly of this man, my reaction to that was, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace. I felt like I'd arrived that such a great preacher would refer to my illustrations. But, you know, he didn't quote my outline. He quoted my illustrations. And now here's a great man of God who is a great preacher. And what he remembered of my sermon were my illustrations, which he then used in his sermon. That's simply the way the mind works. My question is, are they remembering really what I'm illustrating? So in the story of the shoes, the fact that people remember that that's about stepping into sin, it does not offend me that they don't remember that's from Colossians 3. And so I think you need to understand that that's going to happen no matter what. But if it's connected to the biblical concept, and they get that, and that sticks with them, I think you've done your job and your task. Hopefully they're making a few notes along the way, and, you know, Adrian Rogers used to say that the weakest ink is better than the strongest memory. And I really encourage my people to write it down so they get all of it. And I think if we encourage our people to remember the concept along with the story, then we will have done our jobs.
This is so very helpful. Dr. York, you are a master illustrator, and look, you make me want to go find an old pair of shoes in my closet and put them on just so I can use that illustration. But seriously, thank you for this. To be called to preach to be called to preach well and to pursue with excellence, and we just can't do that if we're not bringing the Word of God to bear to the best of our abilities with full amplification, with full application. And a strategic illustration, especially in the right point in the sermon, connected appropriately to the text, can indeed be a window of light, as Spurgeon said, and you quoted. Thank you for the conversation. This has been most helpful. It's been an honor to host you on Preaching and Preachers. God's best to you, and may the Lord richly bless all that He's entrusted to you by way of ministry.
Thank you, my friend. Good to be with you.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, JasonKAllen.com.